Lord, we just thank you for another Sunday morning. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy, Lord God. Father, we just want to sometimes just say thank you. Thank you, thank you. If we had 1,000 tongues, we could not thank you enough for all that you are doing, all that you've done, and all that you're going to do, Lord God. So we just want you to know that the reason why we gather together is to thank you and to praise you and to worship you, Lord God. Father, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit, and we pray, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, move. Holy Spirit, just make a way in our minds and our hearts to understand the Word of God. Father, we just pray right now for each and every person here, Lord God. We've all gotten through the week, Lord God, and we thank you for that, Lord God. And we pray today as we gather together as the body of Christ that you would encourage our hearts once again, Lord God. The week has been hard. It's been tough, but Lord, we pray, encourage us once again, Lord, as we go back into the battle, as we take more territory in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, folks. We are in warfare, I'm telling you, and I hope you guys are starting to set up your war room so you can take some territory. You know, and I'm going to tell you right now, expect the devil to be mad at you, okay? He was already mad at you. He already hated you. So you might as well do some warfare and take some territory back from him in the first place. So several announcements. We will be having our Pot Faith Sunday dinner next Sunday, Palm Sunday. It's a really great time for us to get together in fellowship. So there's some handouts with my address. It'll be at my house next Sunday, right after church. You know, it's Sunday dinner, but it is at what, at 1 o'clock, around 1 o'clock. You know, I say that because someone thought it was at six, dinner time. So it's right after service on Sunday. So that's one announcement. Second announcement is that we do have session two handouts over there. So pick up your session two handout. If you sign the email sheet, I emailed it to you yesterday as well. So you have copies. If you want to get copies, you can just pull it off your email. It's in PDF format, so you should be able to, most people are able to use that and pull it off. So session two is over there, so that we're going to start session two next week on accountability. I just can't wait. I think it's going to be really great and really wonderful. So as we go forward, we're just going to review some of the things that we are finishing up. We're finishing up the session one, which is honest evaluation, guys. And I hope you're just really taking the time to get before the Lord and evaluate yourself. Okay, this is not about me evaluating you or you evaluating me. It's about us getting before the Lord ourselves and evaluating ourselves to see what the Lord would say to our hearts and what he would say to our minds. So last week we were talking about just some more on the evaluation piece. We asked questions like, is your spiritual life apathetic or indifferent or joyless or passionless? And these are things that you have to ask. Are you bored with your salvation, basically? You know, or are you growing in God? You know, Jesus is not boring. He is amazing. You know, but some people, they treat their salvation like a chore. You know, I got to pray. I got to read the Bible. I got to come to church. I'm telling you, you're missing something. You know, you need to press in to really see the joy of having Christ in your life. I don't know how people live without him. I really don't. You know, we talked about forgiveness. That issue always comes up that, you know, are there people that when you're evaluation, are there at least one person you refuse to forgive and deal with that refusal? You know, sometimes it's not just a matter of just doing forgiving. Sometimes it is. And sometimes it's just a matter of dealing with why you won't forgive. You know, that's where Jesus wants to get you sometimes, is dealing with the whys behind your behavior, you know, so he can deal with those deep things that go all the way back to your childhood and why you behave the way you do towards certain people. So again, we just want to, again, just press into these evaluations. You know, we watch the words of our mouth. Is the word, what we say, is it pleasing to God? That was some of the questions that we talked about too. You know, what we say, is it pleasing to the Lord? Do you have time for everything else? Entertainment, your friends, family, everybody else, but no time for God. So that makes you, again, have to check yourself. You know, if you're one of the early riser, then get up earlier. You know, if you got to be in the, you know, be on your way at 6 a.m., then folks, hey, get up at 4:30. You know, and spend some time with the Lord. It is possible. You can set your internal clock so that you are ready. You are wide awake at 4:30. It may take a week or two, you know, but if you really want to press in, if you really want to see some changes in your life and in your family, folks, this is worth it. Press in and start getting into warfare. We talked about living the life in front of your family and living the life in front of your coworkers, you know, because that's where it's going to count, you know, where you live that life in front of your family. And we talked about also getting a prayer partner. I hope you guys are praying about that prayer partner. That is so important. That is so key to have somebody you can pray with, you know, and it's going to, as we go into the next lesson, next session, next week, we're going to start accountability. It's going to be important to have that prayer partner, because that kind of goes along with it, is being accountable to each other. You know, we have to get past this. Nobody tells me what to do. And, you know, and I'm telling you, you're going to be out there by yourself, and the enemy is going to run roughshod over your life. So again, be praying. You know, you might already have good friends. Some of you may already have prayer partners, but if you don't, find someone you can sit and you can pray with, you know, so that you can push the enemy out of your life and take the territory he has stolen back. You know, I see people as territory. You know, the enemy has stolen our family members. He has stolen some of our spouses. He has stolen, you know, but just again, just taking that territory back and just telling the devil where to get off on things, you know, so he won't be just running things in your life. So as we move forward, we're on the last segment. Not sure what page it is. And the handout, by the way, some of the handouts are numbered, page numbered, and some of them are not, but feel free to put page numbers on it. Just a glitch in my brain yesterday. I didn't put page numbers on some of them, but the last section has page numbers on them. Okay, so we're starting at the area that says, let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. And that's from Psalms 145 and 4. And in your lesson, it says, who do you follow and who follows you? And this is really an important question, because whether you know it or not, people are watching you. You know, people are looking at you. Your family's looking and watching. They hear what you say, but they're watching how you live. It is important for you to consider the generation coming after you and the things you may pass on of your faith, as well as the faith legacy that has been passed down to you. So this is an ongoing thing, you know, that you are, the next generation is looking at your life, and they are. The younger ones are looking at the older ones. Don't think they're just ignoring you and they've just, you know, put you out the pasture and they're listening. They will listen, and they're watching you and they're watching your life. And even after the enemy gets finished tempting them to do all this stuff, when all is said and done, because the devil's a liar and the devil doesn't love them, and they're going to figure that out sooner or later. They're going to figure it out. They're going to turn back to you, the one that loves God. And I know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you. Jesus is truth, and truth stands. Truth holds water. You know, the things that the enemy is holding, is tempting them with, it is tempting. Yes, it makes the flesh look good, but I'm telling you, it doesn't hold water. In the end, they come back wanting the truth, and you want to be ready to pass your faith legacy on to the next generation, the faith legacy that many of us got from the generation before us, that we pass it down. It says Paul was very cognizant of the example he needed to be for the people of Corinth. He wrote, imitate me just as I imitate Christ. And that's from 1 Corinthians 11 and 1. And another version says, so I urge you, be imitators of me just as a child imitates his father. You know, so again, these are, you know, you just want to be cognizant of the fact that you're always representing Jesus Christ in every situation. There's no time when you're not representing him. You're representing him at home. You're representing him at work, you know. And it's not that you are perfect. Again, I can't say it enough. Jesus is not looking at you being perfect. He's looking for you to have a pure heart toward him. You know, that when you see it, you'll deal with it immediately. You won't keep it and just brush it under the rug, or your pride will keep you from dealing with it. That's what it means to live a Christian life, is that Christians aren't perfect. I tell people, Christians are not perfect. Christians are forgiven. You know, and that's what makes you a Christian, is that you have been forgiven. So you want to continue in the mindset that you always have nothing between your soul and your Savior. Nothing ever between him. You don't want stuff. You know how stuff gets between you and God when you like, you don't really quite want to pray, you know, well, you pray today because I'm just not really quite, you know, I got some stuff going on. You know, we don't want that. We, you know, God says, come on, let's deal with it. Let's talk about it. You know, so, and the thing about human beings is that human beings are always looking for someone to imitate. They are, especially the young people, don't they? The singers, the actors, they are always looking for someone they can imitate. When they're little, they're imitating mom and dad. You know, you see the little girl with mommy shoes, high heels on, a little boy trying to act like dad, you know, because it's just inborn within us is that we're always looking for someone to imitate, especially the young people. The young will try all kind of personalities and lifestyles before they settle in to who they will be. And that's what you've got to understand. They're trying out things. And sometimes you're like, oh my God, no. You know, they're over there doing this and doing that. Like, oh my God, they're trying out stuff. Just like we did. We tried out stuff too. Like, oh, let me see what this is like. And what I know some of it is like, oh my God. It just, but again, if you are living truth, they come back to the truth. The danger is that Satan will seek to draw them away and eventually kill them in the process. See, that's what the enemy's drawing away, and he has taken many. He has killed them as he's drawn them away from the truth. You know, even when you raise them in the church and you raise them to know Christ, the enemy doesn't care. He's going to still try to entice them to come out there. But our prayer life is such that we're praying over them. I've heard mamas pray that prayer and daddies pray that prayer. Lord, do what you have to do, but don't let him take their life. You know, we've heard people pray that prayer, and I've seen God do that. They'd be all beat up and all scarred up, but their life is still there. And therefore, God can do a work. And so this is why we must be careful as they're growing up to plant good seeds in them as they are growing up, whether they are your children or not. It's not just about your kids. It's about everybody watching. Your neighbor, oh, they know the lady next door is a Christian. You know, we got those Pray for Pueblo signs out in our front yard. Girl, y'all better be living right. We need to be living right, okay? You can't be getting mad at the neighbors anymore. And, you know, and be screaming because their dog ran into your yard. And, you know, you can't. I'm telling you, people are watching. So whether they're your children or not, whoever they are, you are representing. You know, as they say, represent, okay? You know, so this is, and this, you have to understand, it's a critical part of your warfare. Because, you know this is true, because as soon as you mess up, I thought they were, you know, and they're absolutely right. They're absolutely right. So it's warfare. You got to understand, even when you're being, you know, just living the life, it's warfare. This is a critical part of your warfare, is that you're being a true imitator of Christ. As the apostle said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And I love the way he said that, because he's saying, if I stop imitating Christ, don't you imitate me anymore. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. So we just want to work toward imitating Christ, even in the hard days and the disappointing days, because that's when people are really got you under the magnifying glass, when they know you have suffered through some loss or some tragedy or some disappointment. They're watching your life. Imitate Christ, because the next generation and the current generation is watching how you live, and it may affect their future choices. Because they remember you. I remember some of those old saints from back in the day and how they lived. And I'm like, you know what? If they could do it, I could do it. You know, some of you all in here, you know, as I know your testimonies, I know what you've been through. I know some of the losses you've had. And yet, there you are, just marching along, still loving, still pouring into people. It speaks to me. And it helps me when I make my choices that I'm going to choose God's way. Because they are doing okay, and God is blessing them, and God is, so I'm gonna do it like they did it, you know. So as people are watching you, you know, remember that it affects their future choices, and this is a part of the spiritual battle that you are in. Influence is power, and you have influence. Don't think you don't have influence. If you are a parent, you have influence, folks. I'm telling you, I don't care what those kids say and how they act. If you are a parent, you have influence. You know, sometimes you're the auntie, or sometimes you're the uncle, or sometimes you're this. But, you know, if you're a believer and the family knows you're the believer, oh, trust me, they're watching you. They're watching your life. So influence is powerful. So again, we come back to the question, who are you influencing? And what are you influencing them toward? You don't want to influence people toward hypocrisy. That's the saddest thing. When people in the church have influenced other people coming into the church toward hypocrisy. You know, that we do our, we sing our praise and worship, and we sit all pretty in church, and then behind closed doors, we're gossiping about people, we're doing other things, you know. Boy, that's the influence that you have on the younger generation and the younger saints coming in. You know, you don't want to have that type of influence, you know, because God will deal with you. You know, it's all Jesus taught about it. He taught about it. I mean, Jesus did not, Jesus could not tolerate hypocrites. That was one thing Jesus just did not deal with. Well, he dealt with it, you know, but it was always in a very strong manner that Jesus did not want to, would call a hypocrite on the carpet. So the next point on your lesson says, a huge part of warfare is living the life before others. As the old saying goes, talk is cheap. Being a living sacrifice for Christ will cost all that you are, but it will reap a great reward in the souls that watch your life. Do you understand that? It will take everything that you are. You can't hold something back. Well, I'm going to live for Jesus in this setting, but in this setting, all bets are off and I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. No, it's going to take everything. It's going to take 24/7, 365 days a year, with family, without family, you know, at work, at Walmart, you know, wherever you go. Lord called me on the carpet in Walmart, you know. I mean, just telling me, we're at Walmart, or you're driving along down Highway 50 and nobody knows who you are, and you're just, you know, bonking at people, bonk, bonk, because they cut you off. And, you know, at Walmart, you're getting smart and sassy with the cashier, and, you know, not understanding the poor child sitting there trying to do the best that they can do, and they gave you the wrong change. And we just, folks, it all counts. It all counts. God is watching. You could just spread some love, some sunshine in that moment. You know, everybody else is sitting there with the cashier, and then it gets up to you, and you say, that's all right, honey. You just take your time. Just do what you need to do to get your drawers straight. You know, I'm okay. You know, and boy, you just spread the love of Jesus right there. The love of Jesus Christ right there. A light shining in the darkness. You know, when people are all impatient, you know, and hateful and angry. Even had to coin a phrase called road rage. We had to make a phrase for it, road rage, because the way we act on the road toward each other. So it shouldn't be. You should be the one, you go ahead. And if they cut you off and you have to slam on your brakes, start praying for them. You know, and I know that's a hard thing to do, because before I know it, it slips out of my mouth. You know, and I'm like, first I got to repent for what I said, and then I got to pray for the person. I know, you feel my pain, don't you? You feel my pain. But after a while, it becomes a habit. Lord, just help them. Lord, they're in a hurry to get somewhere, but just help them. Help them to get there safely. Lord, I pray that you would just send someone to minister to that person. I may never meet them, but Lord, send somebody to minister so they won't hurt somebody down the road. Start praying. Your prayers mean something. Your prayers mean something. Somebody's life can be saved because you pray for that person that's reckless on the road. And instead of, you know, talking about them, you're praying for them. You know, it can mean everything to saving a life. So again, we want to be cognizant of the souls that are watching our life. The Holy Scriptures teach us in your lesson. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. I love the Amplified, and just some of the, you know, just as we examine some of these words, it's logical to present your bodies to God as a living sacrifice. It's just logical. It makes sense. It's intelligent. Because I'm telling you, if you're not presenting yourself to God, you're presenting yourself to the enemy. And I'm telling you, he is stupid, and he will make you stupid. You know, my mother used to always say that. You know, she said she would look at people doing crazy stuff, and she goes, you know, the devil will make you stupid. And it's so true. You know, you ever see people doing like, and you're like, why? You know, because the devil makes us stupid. You know, so it is intelligent, you know, that it says here in the Amplified. It is intelligent. It's an intelligent act of worship. An intelligent act of worship, to do it God's way. To live godly before others is an act of worship before God. And you got to understand, everything you do is worship. Worship is just not coming to church on Sunday and raising your hand and singing praise songs. Worship is your life. Is your life worship. You know, when you keep silent, you know, when somebody is really coming at you with a bunch of negative stuff and, you know, insulting you, and you keep silent, folks, you know that's worship. Because God sees that you are bowing to him right now. You are bowing to him. You know, you're not just bowing to this person. You're bowing to him, and it's worship. So your whole life is an act of worship before God. As you bow before the world, you're living to please him as you bow before the world. So this bowing that we do, it is worship. And just keep that in mind the next time you want to just say something like, Lord, I'm just going to worship you with my life right now, because I'm not going to respond in the way in which I would, that I feel like responding. But I don't return evil for evil. I don't return insult for insult. I do it differently because I am worshiping my Lord with my life. I am a living sacrifice for God. Verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind. Focus on godly values and ethical attitudes so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you. And that's all from Romans 12. We just read 1 through 2 in the Amplified. So again, a lot of things are happening in this scripture because it's talking about how this is a process. Transformed and progressively changed. And as you mature spiritually. So again, don't be so hard on yourself, because God knows it's a process. But stay in the process. And I want to emphasize that, because one of the tactics of the enemy is that he wants you to feel bad because you made a mistake. And, you know, he'll tell you, well, you might as well forget it. You'll never get this. You know how you are. That's just the way you are. You know, and we repeat it. That's just the way I am. You know, the enemy tells you that stuff. We're repeating what the enemy says about us. Well, that's just the way I am. It's a lie. God, Jesus can change you. Jesus can change you. You know, don't let people say, well, you're just too old and set in your ways. Jesus can change you. I've seen it happen. He can change us. He can change us. And he says, I'll transform and progressively change as you mature spiritually. How? By the renewing of your mind. I will change your whole mind about the world and about everything. God knows that your living before him is a process. He knows where you have come from. And I love that about God. He knows where you came from. He knows what has happened to you. He knows the scars that you don't let anybody see, that nobody knows about. God knows it. And so that's why he works on you gradually by the renewing of your mind. In this verse, there are instructions on how to transform to the ways of God. It's by renewing your mind. We come, and this comes back to influence. What is influencing your mind? And again, this is work, because in this world, there is so many things to influence your mind, especially with the technology we have today. There is so much stuff to influence your mind, but also there's technology that will help you think about God. You know, if you haven't downloaded the Bible app, get the Bible app on your phone. It's free. Boy, they have a daily word, a daily verse, you know, and boy, they, you know, that technology can just come popping up. And if you tell them to give you notifications, man, that daily verse is going to come up on your phone. Boop. You look at, oh, there's my daily verse. You know? And, you know, you can start just reading right there. You know, so use the technology. I'm not saying reject the technology. We need it, but use it. Use it to influence your mind and to keep your mind on the things of God. You know, the Bible, people, be around the right people. Bad company does corrupt good manners, folks. You know, watch the company you keep. You know, I know we have to, you work with certain people and certain like that, but I'm talking about when you gotta, when you're hanging out with them, and you know, that's when the influence starts to become an issue. Not saying you can't hang out with them, but watch yourself and see what, if you're changing, that's a red flag. Well, there was a time I wouldn't do that. Now I'm doing it. Watch yourself. So people can influence you. On the positive side, preachers can influence you, and teachers can influence you. Movies can influence you. And we are living in a world where I'm not, because there's billions and billions of movies out there. You know, watch what you watch. Watch what you watch. Watch what influences you. Watch what influences you and what makes you, you know, what makes you fearful. Are you watching something that makes you afraid? You know, some of the scary movies that we watch, you know, and it bothers me when they always make the devil to, you know, the devil, everybody's dead in the end. I'm like, really? You know, did anybody know Jesus? You know, can anybody rebuke him? You know, the devil, you know, I'm like, really? You know, I mean, show me a movie. You know, if you're gonna make a scary movie, make a scary movie where somebody knows, have the authority of Jesus Christ, and take authority in the name of Jesus. You know, so that's, you know, so you got to watch the influence, because then you go to bed all scared and, oh, wow, I wonder if somebody's going to break in my house. And, you know, folks, you know, because the enemy's influencing you. Yeah, I'm more powerful than Jesus. You know, you see, you saw the movie. Everybody died. See? Folks, take authority. Start taking authority over the enemy. You know, sometimes I like to watch certain movies with my daughter because I like to pause it. I'm like, pause it right there. I said, now let's talk about this. Let's talk about this scene right here. Because I'm gonna tell you what should happen. And you know, this is what they're gonna show you, but this is what should happen. Because you know, I want you to know that Jesus can take over this, you know. And she tolerates me, you know, she tolerates me. She loves mama, she tolerates me, you know. But just talking about, you know, how, you know, even life situations. You know, I paused it. I said, now I'll tell you what she's doing right here. I said, see, that's a married man. And I'll tell you what she's doing right here. She's doing this, this, and this, and this, and this. And that's the enemy. There's a spirit operating in her, making her do that. Because she know he's married. Now watch. And I play it, and I said, sure enough. I said, see, I told you. That's what the enemy will show you. That kind of stuff. You know, I said, but don't you believe it. Don't you believe it. That's how this stuff happens, and that's how this stuff turns out. You know, so again, watch what influences you. You know, engage with people. You know, that's one thing I like to engage with people when they're watching and certain things. And I'm like, oh, let's talk about this. Let's talk about what's real. You know, let's talk about what's really happening here. You know, so again, we just want to watch ourselves. Again, we're just finishing up this honest evaluation. Okay, the next point says, the warfare may be hottest in your home or in your family, but it can be won as you commit to being a living sacrifice for Christ for those you love. You love those folks you're living with. You love your family. And sometimes the heat is hottest at home, you know, with what you're dealing with at home. So you might have to be the priest of your family. I find God sets up priests in the household, you know, the priest of the home. You know, sometimes I look at families and there's like just maybe one person in there at first that knows Jesus. And I've told that person, I said, you're the priest of the family. So it's on you. God chose you to be the priest of the family. So you got to live it. You got to live it right. And sure enough, I mean, within a few months, you know, everybody's coming to her. Can you talk to me about this? Can you pray? Can you pray? Because I'm going to go to court tomorrow. Can you pray? Can you talk to me? And, you know, this young woman, she had her nieces and her nephews are coming. They're not going to their mom and dad. They're coming to her. Why? Because she's the priest of the home. And when you have the truth. See, people know truth. They may shoo you off and says, oh, I don't want to hear that. Oh, I don't want to hear. But they know when they hear truth. It resonates in our spirit, you know, when we hear the truth. That's why Jesus is so influential, because he's truth. And when people hear the story of Christ, it's like they can't get away from it. They can't shake it off. There are atheists that have tried to shake him off, and they couldn't, because it was true, and it was truth. So it comes back to you being a living sacrifice. Now, the problem with a live sacrifice is that it can get up off the altar. It squirms. That's the problem with a live sacrifice, because it'd be getting up, you know, it'd see that knife coming, like, oh no, you know? It squirms, you know? So that's the problem. And it can scream, ouch, when the fire approaches. You know, that live sacrifice can talk. You know, so again, that's the thing that God has to deal. Okay, I got my living sacrifice down there, and they're screaming. Yeah, I see them. They're hollering, you know, or they see that argument start to come up in you, and your blood is at a low simmer. I'm like, okay, there's that living sacrifice, and that's when you got to call in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me to stay on the altar. Help me to stay on the altar right now, because I'm ready to jump up all this altar, jump up off this altar and jump on somebody. You know, you know how you do. Oh, you know what? As they used to say back in the day, I'm going to put my Holy Ghost on the shelf for a minute. You know, I got this, Jesus. Okay. I got this. Okay. I'll get you in a minute, Holy Spirit. Let me just put you up there for a minute, because I'm going to take care of this for myself, you know. Getting up off the altar to deal with what you want to deal with. Therefore, the mind renewal and the mind discipline is required to be a living sacrifice. You have to be disciplined in your mind, disciplined in your spirit, and the Holy Spirit can help you to do it. I know he'll help you to be quiet and do it and remain that living sacrifice. So as we close this session on honest evaluation, you have to ask yourself, have I been a living sacrifice? Have I been? That's the question. To influence or mentor others, this is required, that you be a living sacrifice. Next point on your lesson talks about accountability, which is going to be what our whole next lesson is all about. Accountability is a valuable asset in both sides of the mentoring equation. You need members of Christ's body when you are accountable. You need members of Christ's body whom you are accountable to, and those who are accountable to you. And that's from our Bible study book on the War Room. Prayer partnerships can be the segue for this, for accountability. We all need accountability. And I'm not talking about even just for the major things. Yes, for the major things. You know, someone that's thinking about an affair, yeah, they need someone to be accountable to. You know, somebody that's thinking about doing something rash or harsh, they need accountability. But I'm talking about even the little things. When your mind starts going on a different path, you need someone to kind of reel you back in sometimes. Well, I think I'm just going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and, you know, and I'm just going to, you know. And sometimes you just need that person that will reel you in and start praying for you. So even with the little things, you know, because that's where it starts. The scripture says it's the little foxes that destroy the vine. See, Satan does not come at Christians with big, gigantic, overt sin. He comes with this little tiny stuff. Oh, let me just tell a little white lie. It won't matter. Let me just do this. Let me just, you know, if I just take that, that won't matter. You know, it's just a little thing to steal. Just take that. Again, the enemy comes at you with little stuff. You know, things that you could get away with, and you think, he'll say, nobody will never know. You know, just do it. Nobody will ever know. It's just you. No one will know but you. Oh, but God is watching. God is watching, and Satan is watching, because he's like, you know, and when you do it, oh, don't you know, he'll be right in front of God. You see that? You see, she says she knows you, but she just stole something. She was just dishonest, accusing you before the brethren. I mean, accusing you before God, accuser of the brethren and the sisterin before God. So don't think anybody's watching. Somebody's always watching. You know, and the enemy is just waiting for you to make that decision to do it a different way. And don't you know, he'll be accusing you. He'll accuse you before God. And many times he'll make sure you get caught. He will. Because he loves to embarrass God's people. one on your lesson says, warning. Accountability does not mean you control a person's life. It means you speak the truth to them in love. And this is an important point. You know, because there are controlling spirits out there. The spirit of Jezebel is known as the controlling spirit. So as we talk about prayer partners and accountability, be careful. I warn you, don't get into a controlling spirit. And be careful when you recognize a controlling spirit. That's not what this is. The enemy will try to invade even your prayer partnership. He does not want you praying with somebody. So he is going to try to invade that relationship. That's why he comes against husbands and wives so much. Oh, he hates because husbands and wives, boy, you got a built-in prayer partner right there. You know, and he hates that. You know, and that's why he tries to come between them so they won't pray together. He will try to invade your prayer partnership. So be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Know when you need to back off, because sometimes that controlling spirit can jump on you. You know, it can jump on you, especially if your prayer partner is a younger person or a person that's younger in the Lord. Oh, be careful, because the enemy will come on in there. Well, maybe you should tell her this, and maybe you should tell her not to wear that. And maybe, be careful, folks. Be careful. Be led of the Holy Spirit in your prayer partnership. Don't get into a controlling spirit. Know when to back off and when to press in. You know, because sometimes the Holy Spirit will tell you to press in and sometimes he'll tell you to back off. You know, you need to pray with and pray for your prayer partner. It's not just praying with them. You need to pray for them too. You know, because sometimes if they're not ready to hear or receive something, pray for them. Okay, don't just say, well, you don't want to pray together, then, you know, no, we don't give up that easy. We don't just let people go that easy. We pray for them. You know, if you need to apologize, if you need to forgive, I'm telling you, folks, I'm telling you, you want to, you know, the enemy is cunning. As soon as he sees you praying with somebody, he's going to come and try to mess up that relationship. Watch it. I'm telling you, I'm warning you. So be aware that he's going to try and come in there. But you start praying. Pray for the prayer partnership. In your lesson, it says, remember to always point them to their Savior as their source of strength and power so they can gain true spiritual maturity. Always be pointing them to God. Always be pointing them to God. Not to you as the big, you know, spiritual mentor. Always. Be pointing them to God. A prayer partner is pointing them to Jesus all the time. Okay, let's pray about it. Let's take it to Jesus. Let's take it to Jesus. Let's see what the Lord would say. Let's go in the Word and see what the Word says about it. You know, and not me being the big boss. Never come between Christ and his bride. Remember that. You never come between, you know, a man and his bride. You don't touch that. Same thing with Jesus. Don't come between, you know, you got people treating you like you're some kind of God or Lord. No. Be careful of that. You know, I've heard even great pastors. I know this one pastor was pastor of tens of thousands, and he said to his congregation, please don't worship me, please. You know, because people get into that, especially when you have a huge, big, gigantic ministry. They just say, oh, aren't you wonderful? Be careful. Because I remember him saying that, don't, because I don't want God to take me. I don't want God to move me down a notch because you guys are worshiping. No, don't worship me. You worship God. Him only will you serve. Him only. Because people come and go, but God is forever. So as we do this accountability, you know, you don't come between Christ and his bride. Always keep praying at the forefront of your meeting together. That's another thing. You know, because you can make it into a chat time. You know, nothing wrong with talking together and stuff like that. But when you're coming together to pray, make sure you pray. That's another tactic of the enemy. He keeps you from praying by talking about everything else under the sun except for prayer. So make sure you pray. be disciplined in your prayer time. And sometimes when people, when you're with someone that is chatty, because sometimes you're with somebody that's chatty, and opposites attract. I find that opposites attract. So the chatty person is going to be attracted to the person that's not so chatty, you know, the quiet person. So if you're in that situation, then what you do, you know, you just interject, hey, you know, we can talk, but let's pray first. Let's pray and then we can talk, you know. So you want to make sure you get the prayer time in. You know, the talking is good, it's great, but make sure you get that prayer time. But opposites do attract, and I think God made it that way on purpose. You know, if you look at husbands and wives, I mean, one is one way and a husband is another. I mean, really, as we did that temperament test that we did a while back, guys, I mean, it's so funny when you do temperament tests on husbands and wives. I mean, she is all the way one way and he's all the way the other way. But yet they got together because I think they see in each other what they need, you know, and I think that's really interesting, you know, that opposite. The introverts marry the extroverts, you know. You rarely see two extroverts marry to each other. Oh, my God, what an explosion that would be, you know. And you never see two introverts with each other because, boy, how tiresome that would be, you know. But when you put the two together, boy, you got a really wonderful, beautiful balance in the people, you know. And I know God set it up that way. It's just so interesting how God set it up that way. So the next part of our scripture says, speaking the truth in love in all things, both our speech and our lives, expressing his truth, let us grow up. Let us grow up in all things into him, following his example, who is the head Christ. From him, the whole body, the church and all its various parts, joined and knitted firmly together by what every joint supplies, when each part is working properly, causes the body to grow and mature, building itself up in unselfish love. And this is from Ephesians 4, 5 through 15 in the Amplified. So again, it just teaches us how we are to interact and connect with each other, that everybody has a role in the body of Christ. Everyone is unique. There has never been a human being ever on planet Earth that is you. Do you understand that? No one has ever been on the planet ever before that is you. You are absolutely unique. And you're not replaceable. You're not replaceable. You know, some people think, well, if I go, somebody else will take my place. It won't be the same. Yeah, somebody can probably do what you're doing, but it won't be the same. You know, there is a uniqueness that is you that God builds into the body of Christ. And he wants us to be close. He wants us to be knitted together, every joint supplying the other joint. That means I encourage you and you encourage me. And that's how we go on and that's how we function. We help each other. We hold each other. We don't just let each other go. We don't throw each other under the bus. We just help each other. We're not like the world. The world does so much stuff to us. You know, people, I mean, sometimes my heart breaks when I see how we do each other. We do each other so badly, you know, and we hurt each other, you know, and then when you look at how Jesus sets up his body, oh, it should not, some of this stuff should not be named. We shouldn't be gossiping about each other. We should not be lying about each other or talking about each other. We should always be helping each other and building each other up. And we should always be praying for each other. Each part helping the other part in the body of Christ. You know, I mean, and you have a body, so you kind of know. I mean, it's interesting how God gave you an example that is you, your body. You see how your body works, you know? How your body, you know, one hand is holding the mic up to the mouth and the other hand is giving the expressions that I need to communicate what the mouth is saying, you know? So each part has its own part of doing, has its own job of doing. So it's all built in. No cell can survive on its own. If you remove any part of your body, if you move a cell, you know, from your body, it won't survive very long. If you remove a limb from the body, it won't survive very long. Why? Because every part needs another part. So pray for the, as we talk about the unchurched church, pray for them. Lift them up. They need to be in the body. They need to be at the church. They need to be connecting with other people. You know, there's just something about that. So on the end of your lesson, I put a grid on here, and it's pray for your present and future mentors and also those who will be under your care. List the names of people in your life to whom you feel a personal responsibility to model a Christ-like example. Now, this was from the book, and I thought this was really good because if we're going to do this, guys, we've got to do it on purpose. That means you need to write it down so that it's on purpose. It's not just a passing thought. Well, you know, I can see, oh, yeah, probably Patty, Mary, yeah, Bob, yeah, you know, just something that's going through your mind. Write it down so you can be looking at it and saying, Lord, you know, I'm going to see Bob today, and I want to be a light. I just feel like there's a connection there, you know, where, you know, there's some issues going on there that maybe you want me to address, Lord. So I want to be sure I'm living the right life in front of them. You know, ask Christ to show you this week. Perhaps you've never paid attention to who's watching your life. Maybe you've never paid attention. You're just going about your business and not thinking about it. But how many times that you go to the same grocery store? I go to the same Walmart all the time. Same one. They got to know me there. They get to know me. In fact, I missed a week, and they're like, where were you? You know? I said, I just had something to do last Friday. But, you know, when I get to know their names, the name tag is right there, so we're just talking and chatting, you know, at the checkout, you know, just really getting to know the folks there, you know, who are you being an example for? And I'm really careful how I behave, you know, I'm not demanding my rights. Well, gee, you overcharged me, you know, and what are you going to do about it? And I'm bringing back my receipt because look at what you did. Yeah. All this stuff, folks, is it worth it? Is our souls worth it? Is souls worth your 50 cents? You know, let it go. You know, people are apologizing. You know, it's interesting in the world we live in. People are always doing surveys. You know, I go get an oil and filter change. And the next thing I know, they're sending me an email. Well, how was your visit? And how's everything? And did everyone treat you right? And one time I had to get something done, you know, that was due to me from Toyota on my van. And, you know, I was telling them, I said, you know, well, this is in my warranty that you're supposed to cover this. And, you know, and they were saying, well, no, we weren't. And so we went back and forth. And finally they said, oh, yeah, you're right. We're supposed to cover this. And then they said, sent me a survey. Now, you didn't talk about this on Facebook, did you? And you didn't. No, I didn't talk about you on Facebook. Because people are so worried, you know, and so, you know, but boy, why don't you take that opportunity to just tell them, you know, thank you, you know, and I'm good friends with those folks at Pueblo Toyota. You know, I go in there, you know, I bring my book. I say, okay, this is supposed to last 50,000 miles. Okay, we know, Karen, we got you. Like, okay, all right, good to see you. You know, so it doesn't mean you don't get anything done, but remember, you're just showing the love of Christ, you know, just letting them know, you know, I'm not storming out. Well, I'm never coming here. No, I'll be back because, you know, I need my car serviced and I'll be back because sometimes you just need to come back and let people know, no, we go on, you know, we keep moving on and they appreciate that. I find that people appreciate it. They see you as a solid person that they'll listen to. And you never know when the conversation is going to come up about the Lord or about their family. You know, I was meeting with someone this week, so just some business that we were meeting with concerning my son, Matt. And, you know, and the person was saying how their baby was sick. The baby's sick. And, you know, he was sitting there. His wife kept calling in. The baby has pneumonia, you know, and then a few minutes later, she's calling again. He said, she's just really up. She's really freaking out. She, you know, the baby's sick. I said, okay. I said, you know what? I'm going to pray for the baby. What's the baby's name? You know, he goes, oh, thank you. I said, yeah, we're going to pray for the baby. You know, so, you know, we're going to pray against that pneumonia and that the baby's lungs clear up and that everything's going to be all right, you know, because, you know, I can, you know, and I could see he was upset too. You could tell he was tense. You know, he was trying to get his job done, but, you know, his baby's got pneumonia. You know, so you never know where you're going to be ministering to. But see, if I was acting out with this guy all the time, like, well, you better do that. You know, I want you to do that. I'm like, no. Okay. All right. We'll let that go. Okay. You know, all right. You know, make his visit easy. You know, because, you know, and you'll be the person, you know, because I know they've told me, well, we like to take Matt because, you know, we don't have any problems. You know, nobody's giving us a hard time. You know, so, you know, I got a reputation now. You know, and I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that they know that, you know, when I go on this visit, I'm not going to be given a hard time. You know, it's going to be easy. So, you know, I built a rapport with this young man, and he was, you know, he was talking about his baby, you know, probably wouldn't have said anything if I was one of these, you know, okay, so what are you going to do? And you're going to do this for, no, just let him do his job. And it came up, you know, so the next time I see him, I'm ask, how's the baby? You know, and just build that conversation and that rapport, you know, again, you're the salt of the earth, you know. You're the light of the earth. We're accountable to each other. Who are you influencing? Who's in your life that you can influence? If you're not influencing, pay attention. Write their names down. Who do I need to be influencing? You know, who's watching me? You know, and don't forget the children. Don't forget the children, because they're very important. Oh, they're so important. The babies that are watching you, you know, to see how you treat them. I mean, they're young and helpless now, but they're going to grow up and they're going to remember who loved on them, who was patient with them. They're going to want to know the ones that were impatient and were rough with them, and they're going to remember the ones that were gentle and kind and patient. So don't forget the babies and the children, you know, that you're planting those seeds of love. So when they grow up, the enemy can't just pull them away so easily. And if the enemy does pull them away, they know where to come back to. They know where to come back. You know, because I know they pull them away, but they're going to know where to come back. They're going to remember where the love was and where the love wasn't. It's so sad when you hear people talk about their home, when they how they grew up, how mama treated me, how daddy treated me. You know, so I left home when I was 16, and I'd never look back. Such sad stories, you know. So the enemy takes that person, you know, and hopefully God will send somebody that'll show them love out there. And sometimes God does. Maybe you don't have any children, but man, God will use you to love on somebody that never knew that kind of love. You know, so again, folks, warfare. So as we end this lesson on honest evaluation, we want to watch ourselves. So the scripture at the bottom of a lesson is from Proverbs 27:17. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. You know, and as we get into accountability, that we're going to hit that scripture over and over again about iron sharpening iron. We sharpen each other. Friends and family members, we sharpen each other. I know my family, I have friends and I have family. They don't let me get away with anything. I can't even make a comment. I can't even make a negative comment. They're all up in my grill. You know, I'm just, you know, and I'm like, oh boy, you know, I'm not going to make it through this. And my sister, well, according to your faith, be it unto you. Like, we were playing phase 10. And I'm like, I'm never going to get through this level. Well, according to your faith, being unto you. I'm like, couldn't even play a game and say it, make a comment. You know, but when I thought about it, she doesn't want it slipping out of my mouth about anything. You know, my sister, she just called me on the carpet. You know, I mean, just, and I learned to appreciate that. You know, at first it was annoying. But then I learned to appreciate it. You know, I said, you know, I'm glad I got people that keep me in check. You know, that, you know, oh no, you don't, no, we're not getting discouraged. You know, I went through some hard things this week, some trials this week. And I'm telling you, I had a person there that was like, oh no, God's doing this, okay? Oh no, we're not even going there. You know, we're going to see this thing through. So again, and one last point I want to make, because when you say these things, you're speaking curses over your life. And that's what one thing you really got to see. I know curse sounds like a strong word, but it's absolutely true. When you start saying negative things about yourself, oh, I'll never, and you fill in that blank, you're speaking a curse over yourself. I'll never overcome. Oh, I can never do that. Oh, I can watch yourself, because you're speaking curses. And you don't know what God has for you to do. Eye hasn't seen, neither ear has heard, neither has it entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. He may want you to run a corporation, and you're sitting there talking about, I can never run a business. Oh, I can, stop it. Don't speak curses over yourself. Speak prosperity. Speak what God says over you in the name of Jesus. Anybody have any comments? Anybody? And if you have a comment, you're going to have to come out here. Come up here. They wired me. They wired me, so I can't move around anymore. So anybody want to make a comment? Really, was I that thorough? Nobody, you're out of testimony. Oh, here we go. Here we go.
This happened quite a while ago, but I know I've missed classes in between, but you talked about self-pity, and somebody had put on Facebook about self-pity, and I can't remember exactly how it said, but that self-pity runs us into self-righteousness, because then we're just saying, did you see what they did to me? And we just kind of like, we just feed off of that and that self-pity, and then we become self-centered on our self-pity, and I'm thinking, well, that's the whole... Someone that's just feeling sorry for themselves, I don't think they really even realize they're doing that. They're everything's about them. Everything's about what happened to me, and then they become self-righteous, which is another thing they didn't mean to do. But that's how we become self-righteous, and it just becomes like this vicious cycle and almost an addiction to just.
Boy, I'm glad you said that, because those are one of those cunning little demons that people don't recognize. They don't see it coming. Self-pity and self-righteousness. Those are two, they're demons. You know, it was the self-righteous demons that sent Jesus up to be crucified. You know, those are self-righteous spirits, church people, if you will, that set them up like that. But the self-pity one is a sneaky one, because people around you, especially if you've gone through a loss or a tragedy or something bad has happened to you, you feel a right to feel sorry for yourself. You know, yes, you can feel sadness for it. I understand you feel, but there's a difference between being sad about something and then feeling sorry for yourself about something. Punishing yourself about it, you know, especially if you've done, even if you've done something and you feel that guilt, and then you start feeling sorry for yourself, and you start, and it just leads to this, that, you know, or, you know, if someone else has hurt you, that self-righteous spirit sneaks in, like, they did this to me, you know, I was the good person, they were the bad person, you know, and that self-righteous spirit. So yes, you have to be so cunning, you have to be so watchful, I mean, of the enemy, because those two, that self-pity, self-righteousness will sneak in. Guilt is another demon that will get you. You know, you've messed up. Yes, you made a mistake. Yes, you did. It's take it to Jesus. It's covered under his blood. And end of story. Okay, you don't have to let the enemy come and torment you over and over about it. You know, he's cunning. He comes in all kind of ways.
Well, that's just the enemy. He sets us up. First, he will set us up to fall for his lies, and he ensnares us that way. And then once he sets us up and we fall for it, then he torments us by accusing us, because mm-hmm. he's a tormentor. Mm-hmm. He wants to set you up. He uses all these little tricks mm-hmm. to make you feel sorry for yourself, you know, pity yourself, self-centeredness. All this is just a trap that the enemy uses to set you up. So then he can turn around and accuse you and torment you by saying, look what you did after you've fallen for it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and you can imagine the conversation he's having with God. Like, look, all that you've done for her, and she doesn't believe you. She didn't trust you, because if she trusted more in this person, you know, than you. So see, she really didn't care about you, because, you know, all these things that the enemy will bring, you know, into your mind, you know, and into your heart. So you got to be so careful. Anybody else want to make a comment? Okay. So You know, I remember a friend of mine, and really sad occasion, she lost her husband, you know, and she was just so broken heart about it. And I mean, she grieved for a long, long, long time. And I remember her daughter came to her, and this is not his real name, but she said to her mom, she said, "So, is Jack your Jesus or is Jesus your Jesus? You know, because you act like Jack was your Jesus. Oh no, is Jesus your Jesus or Jack your Jesus?" And I'm sitting there like, eyes open, like, oh my God. But she said it, you know, and she just got in her mom's face and just said this. And her mom was like, I guess Jesus, well, then act like it, you know? And this was like, and this was a while. This was like 6, 7, 8, 9 months, and she's still dragging, you know? And, you know, her daughter said that to her. And I, boy, that stuck with me, that, you know, who's your Jesus, you know? You know, some people say, who's your daddy? Like, who's your Jesus? Who's your Jesus? You know? And we got to, because we can overcome, because this guy, her husband was a believer. He was a believer. He was in the presence of God. You know? I said, so, you know, we know they're in the presence of the Lord. We'll see them again. You know, so again, do we really believe? Do we really believe? Do we really believe, folks? So again, as we end this chapter in honest evaluation, we really want to check ourselves and see if we really, really believe. So anyway, we're going to pray. Lord, we just thank you. Oh, Father, we thank you for your goodness and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, we just thank you for this session on honest evaluation. Father, we recognize this is where warfare begins, Lord. We can't even begin to deal with the enemy if we don't deal with ourselves, Lord. Oh, Lord, so I pray for each and every person that has come to this class, that would hear this class, Lord God, that we would lay ourselves before the altar. Oh, Lord, that we would have honest talks with you, Lord, that we will hold nothing back, Lord. Father, I pray that we would just listen and hear what you're saying, Lord. Oh, God, that we would say that nothing between my soul and my Savior, nothing between. Oh, Lord, I pray that we would understand what it is to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. How can we be soldiers, Lord God, if we won't put on our equipment, if we won't put on our armor? Oh, God, how can we fight the good fight of faith, Lord God, if we won't take care to rid ourselves of sin? So, Lord, I pray that you would help us. Oh, Lord, we just bow before you right now. We say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come right now and do your best work, Lord. For, Lord, some of us are caught up in unforgiveness. We've been hurt so deeply and so bad, Lord God. It's hard for us to forgive that person or forgive those people, Lord God. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Uproot, oh God, the root of bitterness that is in our soul, oh God, toward these things, Lord God. Oh, Father, how can we do warfare when we have that root of bitterness, oh Lord, constraining us and keeping us? Oh, Lord, so I pray that roots of bitterness are uprooted in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that we are set free by your power and by your truth, Lord God. I pray that the truth of the gospel would flood our souls, Lord God, that it would dispel the lies Satan has told to us concerning, oh, so many situations. The lies he's told us concerning our family. The lies he's told us concerning our work. Oh, Lord, the lies he's told us. Lord, we pray that the truth of Jesus Christ would stand and crush it right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Oh, Father, I pray that we would put our armor on, Lord God, that we would put on our helmet of salvation, that we would know who we are, oh, Lord, and whose we are, Lord God, that we would put on our breastplate of righteousness, Lord God, that we won't let sin, oh, Lord, abide in our life, Lord God. If we slip, if we mess up, Lord, that we immediately repent and we get it right. Oh, Lord, we immediately forgive. Lord, we don't hold to offenses. We let it go so that our breastplate of righteousness is intact, Lord God. We hold on to the belt of truth. Lord, the belt of truth holds it all together. Oh, Lord, we pray that we would be truthful and we would be honest, Lord God, that we won't live lies, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we won't live a lie. Oh, God, we will live truth in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that we would have on our shoes of peace, in the name of Jesus, that we were going toward peace, that we would strive for peace. Oh God, that we would not have to win every argument, Lord God, that we would understand what it is to keep our mouth shut and let you do the battling and you do the fighting and you do the ministering in hearts, Lord God. I pray that we would have on shoes of peace, that we would be peacemakers. Your word says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Oh God, so I pray that we would be your children. Oh God, and that we would have on our shield of faith, Lord God, because the enemy is coming at us. The enemy is throwing darts at us, Jesus. So many have been hit with darts this week, Lord God. We have been hit with darts this week, but Lord, I pray that we have on our shield of faith, that we would believe you over the situation, that we would believe you, Lord God. Oh God, that we would have on the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that we are cutting the enemy asunder with the word, your scripture, Lord God, your promises, and what you have said over what the enemy has lied to us about. Oh God, we thank you for our sword. Teach us how to wield our sword, how to move it, Lord God, just right, Lord God, how to use it. Oh Lord, how to jab, Lord God, with it in the name of Jesus, so that we would prevail, Lord God. And finally, it says to pray and to pray and to pray always, Lord God. And we pray that we would pray. Lord, I pray for everyone in this room that they would pray, Lord God. We're not just having this class just because we have nothing else to do. Father, we're having this class so that our lives can change. We're having this class so we can pray. Oh, Lord, we're having this class so we can press in, Lord God. We have this class so we can take territory. Oh, Lord, the enemy has stolen stuff from us, Lord, and we are wanting to get it back. That's why we're here, Father. We're not here playing games. We're here, Lord God, because we want to prevail in prayer. Oh, God, we want to see changes take place, Lord God. We want to see our family members change. We want to see our jobs change. We want to see our life situations change for the better, Lord God. Father, we know you're a good, good God. You're a good Father. You have good things for us. Oh, Lord, and we want those things, Lord God. But, Lord, we know it takes that we overcome. And you said that he that overcomes through Jesus Christ, Lord God, and you have countless promises for those of us that overcome. So, Lord, here is us. Here we are. Here we are praying, Lord God, that you would bless us to overcome. Oh, Lord, we've been struggling. We've been caught up with it long enough. And, Lord, we pray today that you would bless us to overcome. Oh, Lord, we're waiting. Lord, we want to hear the testimonies. We want to hear the victory, oh, Lord, that comes out of this class and beyond, Lord God, and beyond. So, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We glorify your name, Lord, and we concede that we're going to bring it all to you, lay it at your feet, nothing between my soul and my Savior. From this day forth, nothing between my soul and my Savior. I let it go. I let it go. Oh, Lord, we speak truth over us. We cast down. We repent of all curses we've spoken over our own lives. We've spoken curses over our own life, Lord God. We did it ignorantly, Lord God. But now that we know, Lord God, we repent of the curses we've spoken over ourselves. And, Lord, we pray over the blessings. Oh, Lord, and we pray your Holy Spirit would remind us to speak blessings over ourselves. We speak blessings over our life, over our family. We speak blessings. We don't speak curse over our children. I don't care what they've done, Lord God. We speak blessings over them. We speak blessings over them. We speak salvation over them. Oh, Lord, we speak it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we've just spent 3 years talking about the name of Jesus. So, Lord, with that knowledge, we say, Jesus, come, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.